How do you follow a puppet? Is it safe? Hopefully. Vaughan said at the beginning, did you have an early start to the day? I had an early start. I woke up at about 4:15. And our kids don't even live at home anymore. You know, but what woke me up was the neighbours. The neighbour's rooster. Crowing, it crowed from 4:15 till 5:30. And I understood what it was saying in the end. Pick me, roast me. You know, if only I had the time. Ooh. Look out, rooster. It's good to laugh. It's good to gather, isn't it? It's good to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, our Master, our King, our Friend, the Son of the living God. Just going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 2. But before I do that, the first part of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, gives a huge background to the lineage of Christ. It covers 42 generations. I had to quickly do the math, sorry. 42 generations, Matthew goes, from Abraham right through to the time of the Messiah. And then we get in that part of chapter 1, the actual story of the birth, the travel, and the birth of Jesus in a manger. We pick the story up a little bit later in the first 12 verses of chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, follow along. Otherwise, you'll be able to follow along on the screen. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star, it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. As everyone in Jerusalem was too. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were filled with great joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Let us just pray before I just share a few thoughts on this passage. Father God, we come this morning into your presence to worship you, to acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour, and to celebrate the birth of your Son. Father, we've read these words from Matthew's Gospel, and Lord, we ask that you would speak into our hearts and lives this morning. Strengthen us, encourage us, embolden us to follow Jesus with all our heart. For we ask this in his precious name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. There's just a couple of things that I'd like to bring to your attention from that passage this morning in just a couple of minutes. First, we find two main characters. We find the wise men that have come from the east, and we find Herod, who lives in Jerusalem. We find the wise men who come and seek and truly want to worship, and we find Herod, whose very existence is eroded by the presence of a king. See, Herod, he was king, but he certainly wasn't of the Davidic line, and he was only in power because the Roman authorities had let him be. So the whisper of another king, one that is truly the king of the Jews, would not have been good news for Herod. So Herod planned a plan that was deceitful, that was full of lies. But God intervened and the wise men didn't return. But when the wise men came, they knew a star that God had spoken to them through that somehow. And they came and they found Jesus. And the words you find in Matthew's gospel don't just talk about a baby. There's something special in those words that Matthew uses that says this is a divine child. The words that these wise men use and the way that they experience Jesus is no ordinary child, no ordinary king. And their response is they fall to their knees and they worship him. And they give him great gifts. Again, these gifts represent gifts that would be given to royalty. And then they go on their way, praising God. The other side of that coin is what Herod does. You know the rest of this chapter. When they don't come back, what does Herod do? What's Herod's response to the lack of information? He finds out, he knows the date, and he then commands his soldiers to go and kill all the male children 2 years and under. It's a pretty sad story, that part, isn't it? 4 weeks ago when we started our journey to Advent. If you were here, you'll remember that we were invited by Chris to come. The manger was at the front, and at that stage, it was empty. And we had some little pieces of cloth, and we were encouraged to come and lay a piece of cloth on the manger to represent the cloth in which Jesus lay. And in that, we started our journey to the manger and we connected ourselves with the manger in a very tangible way. But as we come to Christmas, as we experience Christmas again, the question still remains. The challenge for us today is the same challenge that the wise men found and Herod found. For it is in our response that is crucial to the way we understand Christmas, to the way we receive Christmas. It's interesting in Felix's little story, we find that Felix is prepared. He knows Jesus. He's waiting for Jesus. We've been waiting for Jesus. And whilst Felix waited, he responded with love and grace to those he encountered. And that passage from Matthew's gospel that comes later talks about working with the brethren and the least of these. Somehow we encounter Christ as we rub shoulders with brothers and sisters and we continue our journey, strengthening our hope and faith and buoying up those among us as a response to this baby that was born 2,000 years ago. Jesus also told a parable of the Good Samaritan. As followers of Christ, we are compelled to be good in what we do and what we say to bring help and care to the needy in the world in which we are, which we find ourselves. That's the wise men's side of the coin, as it were. We have a response to the birth of Christ which impacts our lives for kingdom outcomes, kingdom standards, kingdom morality. It's more than just the birth of a baby. It's the birth of our King. It's the birth of our Lord. It's the birth of our Saviour. And how we respond to that is crucial. How have you come to Christmas this year? Have you come to bow your knees? Have you come to bow your head and worship? Or have you come with an agenda to undo the things of God? I encourage you this Christmas, today, and for the days that lie ahead into the coming year, to connect yourself to this birth in a way that challenges you, shapes you, opens you up to the message of the gospel of hope, not just for your life, but for the lives of those you encounter. Christmas is the beginning of the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, Lord, Saviour, King, Master, and Friend. That's good news, isn't it? And that is central to the Christmas message. It's great to give gifts. It's great to celebrate. It's good to sing good songs and go on a tour if that's what Felix wants us to do. But if we, if you, if I don't make a choice to worship him, to acknowledge him, to follow him and serve him, Christmas means nothing at all to you. My hope, my prayer is that for you, Christmas means everything in your journey of faith. That it's the starting point and it spurs you on and enables you to spur others to be part of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Loving God, it's a long time since you came as a baby. And yet, Father, we know that you will return. It's a long time since you came and were born and that you grew and you ministered in a world that was hostile to you. And yet we know, Father, you protected Jesus in all his life and ministry, even to the cross. We can't think of the birth without the cross. We can't think of the birth without the death, the resurrection. And we can't think of the birth without the hope of your return. Stir our hearts and minds this day, Father, to worship you in all your glory, that we might bring honour and glory and praise to your name this day. For we ask this in his name. Amen.